నమస్తే, సుస్వాగతం అండ్ వెల్కమ్ టు ఆ సండే ఎడిషన్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన్ గంగా వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్ ఆన్ ఆ విరాట్ హిందుస్థాన్ సంఘం సోషల్ మీడియా ఛానల్. యాజ్ యు నో, వీఆర్ ఆన్ యూట్యూబ్, ఫేస్బుక్, ట్విట్టర్ స్పేసెస్ అండ్ న్యూమరస్ అదర్ పాడ్కాస్ట్ అండ్ అదర్ సోషల్ మీడియా ఛానల్స్ సైమల్టేనియస్లీ బీమింగ్ దిస్ ప్రోగ్రామ్ అక్రాస్ ద గ్లోబ్ ఇన్ మోర్ దెన్ 125 కంట్రీస్. సో వీ హ్యావ్ అ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ డిస్కషన్ టుడే. Is India factor important in US presidential elections of 2024? And for the next 45 minutes to our hour, we will be having Dr. Subramanian Swamy and Professor Madhav Das Nalapat speak on this topic, and then our panel will join. We welcome Professor Madhav Das Nalapat to our show. He has been on our show earlier. Just for a brief introduction of Professor Nalapat, Professor Nalapat is the UNESCO Peace Chair at the Manipal University and Director of Department of Geopolitics and International Relations. He has been holding in the past senior editorial positions in various Indian newspapers, and he has regular weekly columns in various newspapers and magazines across the globe. And you will find him in lot of TV debates on various geopolitical issues. So with this, it is well, and he has been author of numerous books. We welcome him to our show. And with these words, it is over to Dr. Subramanian Swamy to initiate today's discussion, and then we'll hear Professor Nalapat and the other panel members. Over to Dr. Swamy. Dhanyavad.
Thank you, Jagdish, and welcome, Professor Nalapat. I would like to emphasize that Nalapat is a known scholar, besides being a long, observer at the very least, from a very distinguished family, observer of politics in India. He knows practically everybody. I know he was an extremely good friend of Rajiv Gandhi. He knows practically all the politicians. So I thought that it would be a very good idea when it was proposed that he should be here on this matter. Now, this is a very important election because the Americans will be choosing their allies to whom, I mean, not necessarily formal allies, but allies who need to be backed and supported to the extent that they can, and of course, benefit from the availability of options in these various countries. India is a country which is very large. It's now the largest population. It's overtaken China. And it is the third largest in PPP, then a public, based on the prices according to one country, the PPP rate, India is third in the world in GDP. And it's got a series of advanced science achievements. We landed our satellite in the moon. We can produce bombs. We are exploring new ways of developing nuclear fission. So I think India, there's nobody can doubt that in this short 70 years after 1,000 years of butchery and suppression and so on and so forth, India has come up very fast indeed. And it's only a matter of time before India overtakes China. China was a artificial bubble because the Americans gave them so much support in terms of demand for their products. And now the Americans are sort of waned a bit. And consequently, China is now is an economy whose growth rate they used to boast of 12% and 14% is now 5%. Assuming the Chinese data are accurate, they could be even lower. India also, the growth rate that is broadcast by the government is a bit bogus. It's in fact in the first 10 years of first 5 years of Mr. Narendra Modi's rule, the rate of growth of GDP started declining from 2016, and all the way down to 2020, and it has recovered now. They may say anything in the press and so on, and the press, of course, is now a little pussycat press we have. They can't stand up. It's only the our private television shows and so on, which where some truth can come. But so I would say potentially India is a superpower, and if India is also a democracy, it has proved itself to be a democracy. Mrs. Gandhi tried to snuff it out, and she got a beating, and she lost the elections, and the people showed her where she belonged, and no future leader in our country can dare to think in terms of destroying the democracy. And if they do, they'll also end up thrown out of the of power. So the Indian people, the culture, the long history, so the longest continuing civilization is India. All the others have disappeared. There were 45 civilizations at one stage, and now 44 are gone. They all disappeared. And it's only the Indian civilization which is here. So what I would like to say is that India has the potential to be a mighty friend of China, I say mighty friend of the United States, or any other country, depending on your choice. But my choice today is democracy is in danger all over the world, and therefore the United States, being a democratic country, we should align with them. We have been attacked by China. China has crossed over into Indian territory, undisputed Indian territory in Ladakh, and captured at least 4,065 square kilometers. So, and they have done it quietly, because the Indian government has kept saying that koi aaya nahi, koi gaya nahi. And so the country doesn't even know that the Chinese have entered into our territory and have done this. Maldives has thrown you out, and you have meekly accepted it. And then he said, okay, we'll have plainclothes people. And they said, well, watch it. We will test each one of them to see whether they are military men who are in plain clothes. So kick them out. But they have allowed the Chinese troops to come, the Chinese Navy to come. And a small country like Maldives, whom we saved from the LTT takeover or the Tamil Tigers taker or whatever that was there in during Rajiv Gandhi's time, we sent planes, ships, and liberated them. And that is doing it. Bhutan, which is one of the closest, and suddenly they have said, no, now we don't need India for foreign policy issues. We will do what we like. So there's no neighbor. The only neighbor who has shown some concern for India is Sri Lanka, but that's got nothing to do with the present government. It's got to do with people who are not in the government but have steadily consistently supported the Sri Lankans to fight terrorism. They are the people who are able to moderate a little of the Chinese possible link leaning to China. So we are in this kind of a situation. You can't expect the United States to come and be a friend of yours. The United States did try to create a four members quad, and suddenly we turned around saying, no, quad should only look at whether the environment issue is important or something like that. But we don't. It is not an organization for self defense. So today we are nowhere figuring in any of the discussions that are taking place in the United States. There's a talk of many of the smaller countries. There are talk, of course, of Putin. There's talk of China. But there is no talking about India and what all it's doing. In the debate, I'm not talking about newspapers writing something nice about India occasionally. But I'm talking about this political debate, which is what we are concerned about in the presidential election. As the title says, India is not referred to. So this is my biased view, or can you say well thought out view, depending on which side you are on. But let me hear from Sarath, who is an independent person. We don't agree on many things, but we managed to remain friends. So let him speak frankly here. He's here in a friendly environment. He knows all of us, the people who are running the show. Come on and tell us like it is. Are we a factor in the United States election proceedings now?
Dr. Swamy, it's always difficult to follow you in the sense, the following act, because you always present issues in such a crisp manner. I simply want to say that today is the age of the Indo-Pacific. It was the Atlantic age, and now is the Indo-Pacific age. It's the age when the threat comes not from the European theater, but from the Asian theater. And I would like to compliment you on the very forthright way in which you have pointed out about Chinese aggression and the Chinese and Xi Jinping's expansionism. And that is a threat facing the Indo-Pacific, facing ASEAN. Now you have what I would call the ASEAN Sea. Somebody somewhere made the mistake of calling it the South China Sea. And the Chinese have now basically taken over that particular sea. It's ridiculous. So from all these points of view, the reality is, look, US needs India, India needs the US. And may I point out that from 2014 onwards, first of all, what happened? You had a chief minister of a Western state who was denied a visa. The reason why he was denied a visa by two administrations, the US, was to please an individual who, you basically refer to as a TDK. Let me put it this way. I'm not going to spell out the full name. And to please TDK, I'm not talking of a political party, I'm talking of an individual, a visa was denied to this particular chief minister. Now, as soon as he got a promotion and became the prime minister, he completely forgot that particular unpleasant episode. Bygones became bygones, and he made the United States a very high priority. Now, again, allow me, Dr. Swamy, to say, the foundational agreements between India and the US in security cooperation, the three foundation agreements plus one, all four agreements have been signed under this government from 2014 onwards. The Quad was energized by the prime ministers of India and Japan. I'm not going to mention their names, but it happened around 2016. And we all know who was the prime minister of India and that of Japan during that period. So the fact is that India is now a de facto security partner of the United States. You are absolutely right. There is a significant Sino-Wahhabi lobby in the United States, in various parts of the world, definitely the United States. And that lobby hates India. That lobby does not want an India-US partnership, because that partnership would be very unpleasant for Xi Jinping and the CCP. So that lobby has been working very hard to sabotage, any kind of good relationship between India and the United States. And I'm sorry to say that many of the people in that lobby are very active in both parties. That lobby has plenty of money. The Wahhabis have plenty of money. The CCP has plenty of money. And they slosh it around. And unfortunately, a lot of people are attracted to money and they forget everything else in the race for money. So that is going on in the United States, but the reality of the situation is neither the US nor India can ignore each other. As far as this election is concerned, Dr. Swamy, you have Vivek Ramaswamy. I think Vivek Ramaswamy is a good Tam Bram. I don't know if we can ever be a good Tam Bram. My paternal grandfather, C.V. Subramanian Iyer, would have been very angry if he had heard that. He was very proud of being a Tam Bram. But I only like to say that you have Vivek Ramaswamy. He's zoomed to the top. You have Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley stood her ground against Donald Trump. And very importantly, you have what I would call a person whom I would call the adopted daughter of India. She's Indian in almost every way except her passport and her ancestry, and that is Tulsi Gabbard, who might, as you tweeted, I would very much like to see Tulsi be appointed by Donald Trump as his vice presidential candidate. If that happens, I can assure you that ticket is going to sweep the polls and Biden is going to lose. Tulsi would be absolutely the best vice president candidate and in the future will be a brilliant presidential president of the United States, possibly the first lady president of the United States. So I can only say, Dr. Swamy, irrespective of Sino-Wahhabi lobby, irrespective of everything, of all the, you know, and New York Times and Washington Post and Guardian and all kinds of, CNN, BBC, all these propaganda mouthpieces, frankly. The fact is, India and the United States are going to be close together, and there is complete uniformity of opinion in the Democratic mainframe. I'm not talking the fringe, I'm talking the mainframe. And in the Republican mainframe, that India and the United States are marching together to secure the Indo-Pacific. Of course, frankly, the Ukraine has been a diversion. It has drawn attention back to the Atlantic, back to Europe, back to the previous Cold War's adversary, Russia, and to some extent, attention away from the current adversary, China, the current theater of geopolitical center of gravity, which is the Indo-Pacific, and the current continent, which frankly is the continent of the 21st century, Asia. But nevertheless, I'm both sides. Whoever wins, I can tell you, the relationship between India and the United States is strong de facto. I'm not talking de jure. And you are an amazing individual when it comes to cases. But I'd like to say de facto, we are strong security allies of each other. We are the two largest democracies in the world. We have a vibrant people-to-people relationship from the 1950s, irrespective of whether it is interrupted by some of our leaders that came after the, independence. It is a very vibrant people-to-people, relationship that has grown from the people. And that relationship is not going to be diluted. Whoever comes to power in the November election in the United States, the India-US relationship is rock solid and will become stronger.
Well, before I ask any or all my colleagues to express their opinion, the permission of Mr. Jagdish Shetty, who's the compare here, I want to know that if you are such good friends with the Americans, as you point out, how is it that a matter on which where gross human rights are being violated, that is Ukraine, India is on the side of the Russians? How is it that on the issue of Israel, although we, the 90% of the Hindus in India are supporting of Israel, and the horrid thing that was done by the Hamas, and Israel retaliated, why you go on balancing between them and the Palestinians? And the Palestinians, you see, we are not, nobody's against the Palestinians. We are all against Hamas. And so India should be supportive that the elimination of Hamas is something that India would support, or India would in fact would help. And third thing is that when it comes to any issue like Afghanistan, the Americans had to run away, of course, from there. But after that, we have been trying to mollify the Afghanistanis. We have a undisclosed occupation by China of 4,065 square kilometers. It is not being admitted. Tomorrow, in fact, I'm appearing before the court on Right to Information Act, because when I filed for the Right to Information Act, They did not say we will not give you this information because it's a secret, but they just didn't reply at all three levels. So tomorrow should be a very interesting thing for me. But why is the government afraid of that? What is the difficulty? Why is the government not cultivating our neighbors? They want small things and are not ready to give. How can you lose to China? Maldives, I just don't understand. These are all indications to show that you may want to have good relations with America because you want to buy and sell something, or you want visas to become easier, which is not, by the way, they're still very tough on India compared to other countries. So this aspect that you just do, this is all talk. What is the action by which you can say we are allies of the United States? We are not allies, or we are just admirers, then it's a different matter. Just say we are admirers of the United States, but we are not with them. We are not allies. Tomorrow there's an attack on America. We are not going to come to the support of the Americans. In the Quad, it was started as a strategic for formation. But soon India said, no, we'll talk about environment and this kind of thing. And the whole thing has gone kaput. There's no Quad worth the name anymore. The Americans are having separate agreements with Taiwan, with Japan, and so on. That's what's going on. But India is nowhere in the strategic side. China has walked into your country and during the Nehru's time and during the Indira Gandhi's time, even during Vajpayee's time, they had taken land. But in Mr. Modi's time, after 17 one-to-one meetings between Xi Jinping, being made to wear a dhoti and walk in Mahabalipuram, you may have seen that picture. All that, you find that the Chinese since 2020 have been crawling, have taken over 4,065 square kilometers. And so you have not uttered a word. Where is this American association, and for what? If everybody is okay with you, then why you need any alliance with anybody? So then what's your answer to that?
Well, the first point is that both Jaishankar and Rajnath explicitly mentioned China in recent statements. We have seen that. like to say that so far as the visas are concerned, you'll be happy to know that it was I wrote a piece in Sunday Guardian when this visa squeeze was going on, pinpointing the U.S. official was responsible for it, a lady called Victoria Nuland, a woman who I called in Sri Iyer's program a useful idiot of the CCP. And frankly, very soon after that, and it's not nothing to do with the article, I'm sure, independently, the United States government understood the damage that was being caused to India-U.S. relations, people-to-people relations. I mean, you know, NRIs were suffering, basically. Their relatives in India were suffering. If a relative was sick, in the U.S., you couldn't travel there. Today, the visa situation, I understand, is now reasonably normal. And I would like to give credit to Ambassador Garcetti. I've been told various things about him, some good, some bad. But I must say that I must give credit to him that the fact is that the visa situation is now much improved. Dr. Swamy, you talked about Russia. It's interesting that you talked about Russia because just about a week ago, I was the lead on the Indian side for a very major track to India-Russia dialogue conducted in Rewa University in Bangalore. That's a beautiful university for more than 40 acres. You've given a talk there. I have given not one, but several talks there. And we had a major dialogue, and we had people from IMEMO, which, as you know, is Vladimir Putin's think tank. Look, the fact is, Russia is half of Europe, half of Asia. Today, our trade with Russia has gone, even though the trade in defense is going down, the overall trade has risen by leaps and bounds because we are buying Russian oil at discounted rates. It's extremely helpful to our economy. And we are buying that in very large quantities, very, very large quantities. Secondly, Dr. Swamy, in 2014, again, I'm saying I'm not a Bollywood scriptwriter. I would like to stick to what on the basis of the research that my team does, I do, are absolute facts. About 86% of our critical defense imports came from Russia. Today, it's still unbearably high. It's 56%, but it's a big steep fall. It was rising, and now it has started falling. And we are going into a situation in which we are buying less and less of defense equipment from Russia, and more of their oil, more and more of their gas. I was in Bangalore recently, and I visited a place called Dynamatic Hydraulics. Yeah, I mean, you and I knew Jayant Malhotra very well. You and I know his son, Toby. Toby is a brilliant chap. And he's built a state-of-the-art factory in India for Boeing, for multiple, you know, United States and European companies. Absolutely state-of-the-art. He's got state-of-the-art factories in Germany. He's got state-of-the-art factories in the United States. He's an Indian citizen. And by the way, he's now a South Indian citizen because Bangalore is his home, you know. So, yeah, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, Dr. Swami, that Russia and India, the Chinese have basically sought to create hell for India. The West has sought to create hell for Russia. Well, the fact is, we haven't sought to create hell for each other. And we have been close for a long time, and we are remaining close. And I think that's an asset to Russia. It's an asset to India. As far as this talk about human rights, etc., is concerned, well, I don't know if, you know, Ukrainian soldiers were... look, I'm not going to get into that thing, because this is the most misused word in the English language, is this called human rights. Dr. Swami, I don't know if you're aware of Mr. Navalny's comments and statements. It's there on YouTube and various before he was unfortunately imprisoned. And I'm very certain he died as a result of what happened in jail. But the fact is, I don't believe Putin ordered his death, because the man who has suffered the most reputational damage with the death of Navalny is Putin. I can't believe Putin sanctioned it. Some stupid jail authority went too far. And Navalny, unfortunately, very unfortunately, he was, in a sense, yes, murdered by the Russian penal system, but certainly not as United States and UK and everybody is alleging, on the instructions of Putin. There's a Russophobia in the West. There's a concentration of attention on Europe and Ukrainians. What about Yemenis, Dr. Swami? What about Somalis, Dr. Swami? What about people who are suffering all over the world? In Latin America, why aren't the Europeans and Americans concerned about them as they are about the Ukrainians? What's so special about the Ukrainians that it makes them different from the Yemenis? We're all human beings together. So, Dr. Swami, frankly, this whole talk about human rights, it's something that, frankly, it is a term grossly misused.
I want you to answer this question. You can't bring in Ukraine as example, because Russia has crossed into Ukraine. It's an independent country, a member of the United Nations, and you have taken over their territory. And in fact, you have declared now that you're going to recover it and fully put together with Russia. So that's a different matter. I don't want to, because the others...
Dr. Swami, I just want a small comment on that. The fact of the matter is, in 2014, Victoria Nuland, I was the lead organizer of a coup through what's called the Maidan revolution. And as a result of that, the Russian-speaking, friendly to Russia president Yanukovych was almost murdered. He fled for his life to Russia, and a fanatic, Russophobic chap was put as the new president, illegally, if I may say so. After that, Russian language was banned, and the Russian regions were treated as second-class citizens. There's a history behind Ukraine, Dr. Swami, and that history began in 2014. It did not begin in 2022.
All right, last point. After that, we won't disturb you. What about S-400? Why are they not delivering what they promised? They've given it to the Chinese, instead.
I would fully agree with you, Dr. Swami, and please understand that I have repeatedly warned against buying S-400. Repeatedly warned about it. And if I may say so very, very clearly, that I have said that you must downscale your defense procurement, at the same time, upscale your trade with Russia, upscale your relationship with Russia. And you're perfectly right. They have given us certain systems, and they've not given us some other systems. They have slowed down deliveries because they are a defense partner of China. And frankly, this has shown that it's dangerous to rely on Russia for matters of defense. But it's not dangerous to rely on Russia for oil and other resources. And may I point out, Dr. Swami, the South China Sea, the Russian stand is that the UN law of the seas, UNCLOS, operates in the South China Sea, that the same stand as India's, and it is entirely counter to the absurd, crazy stand of the CCP, that the South China Sea belongs to China. The Russians stay along with us, South China Sea, it should be governed by international law and not CCP law.
Okay. Jagdish.
I think Ramesh, being in the United States, has some questions.
I'm itching to go, but anyway, Professor Nalapad, I agree with you 200% of whatever you said, period. Okay. Now, let's come back to the point of what we have today. The topic, Dr. Swami, is India a factor in the US elections 2024? No. Tell you why. Strategically, what Professor Nalapad said, yes, they need a relationship with India, but at a transactional level, India does not figure anywhere. The reason is got nothing to do with India. The reasons are because the Indians in the US, let me tell you, they are by and large the richest ethnic minority in this country, and they have not banded together. And exactly the reason why, as Professor Nalapad said, the Wahhabi Muslim lobby, the Pakistani lobby, every other minority lobby, less than 0.5%, have more voice than the bigger voice that the Indians are. Indians in America have not come up and voiced or come together, banded together to make India a factor in any election. They have not. Zero. That's based on what I know. But again, as Professor Nalapad said, Ravi Ramaswamy and Tulsi are two, Nikki Haley to some extent, which I don't trust her, but these two people have really brought up what it means to be an Indian American. Especially Ravi, I'm telling you, this guy is super brilliant. His reach among African Americans, Dr. Swami, is unbeatable. I am telling you, Trump has less reach to the Black Americans, and Ravi Ramaswamy has bigger reach. This is what I see from what I look around. Ravi Ramaswamy is going to be forced to reckon with in the future. And I agree to balance the election, because on the other side, you have Biden and you have an incompetent. Incompetent is a wrong word to use for Kamala Harris. We have two. One is a senile guy. One is an incompetent person. So it's a very dangerous combination for America to repeat in 2024. In all practical purposes, I don't think Biden is going to be the nominee. He's going to be replaced by Michelle Obama at any point in time very soon. This is my personal assessment. Coming to Ravi Ramaswamy, he's going to be playing some kind of a role in Trump administration. And I think Tulsi would be an excellent vice president candidate because she's been in the Congress. She's a military veteran. She's very solidly stable in the sense that she is very practical and very balanced person. And she's not a person who would go and take the limelight away from Trump. Sorry to say, Ravi is very aggressive, but I think that Tulsi would be one of the best.
Ramesh. He's Vivek.
I'm getting confused. I was reading something else. Okay, so Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be a force to reckon with. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, folks. I just got excited. Coming to Vivek, what he has achieved so far, even in the local campaigns in New Hampshire, even look at the polls, Dr. Ramaswamy, he was zero. He was polling to almost about 7-8%. That is a huge jump for Vivek.
But what is the explanation for India being not in the map?
India, basically, as I said, Dr. Swami, the Indian Americans here have not.
What are the indigenous?
Indian Americans. But if you look at from the India side, it has always been this way. India has always been looked at a strategic partner rather than as a transactional partner, like what US treats as allies in NATO or somebody else. We are not there yet, but I think in the future, very near future, India will become that. But right now, it is not the case. Because like as Professor Nalapad, you also said, India supported China to be where they are today. India is not there yet. I think we can be a force to reckon with if we position ourselves correctly that way.
Jagdish?
No, there's a question from the viewer. which is on the screen, and I'll ask this question to Professor Nalappa, Dr. Swami, and Ramesh. The question is, who will be better suited for India? In short, that is what he's saying. Who will be Bharat friendly among the two likely candidates, that is Trump and Biden? Professor?
No, Dr. Swami first, please.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say that if Trump is there, he will be very close to Putin, and which means that India would have to be pro-Soviet, pro-Russian, continue to be pro-Russian, as it's in the case of Ukraine and other matters. Now, if you don't like Ukraine, that's a different matter. But the fact is that we will have to continue to go back to the old days of when the Soviet Union was there, of saying yes to everything in international affairs to which the Russians say, because the connection of our opponent to Mr. President of the United States, he is very deep connections with Putin, not Russia, but with Putin, and you have to trace it. The Americans have traced it, but they're not publishing it. And I think he will not be in your support when the chips are down. So I would think that it's better for us to stick with the. I mean, we have very little leverage, but I think it's where we must ensure that our relations with Biden continues to be as good as before.
Yeah. First of all, I don't buy this conspiracy theory that Donald Trump is in the pocket of Vladimir Putin. That's been bandied about all over the place. And of course, there's another conspiracy theory that Joe Biden is in Xi Jinping's pocket. The Biden family, several members of the Biden family, are definitely financially close to entities that are close to China. And the Chinese are very much deeper pockets than Russians. Having said that, you know, Dr. Swami has been a minister in government. He knows the cabinet system very well. I have not even been, a clerk in the government. So it has not happened, and I'm not going to talk about it. But the fact is, the president of the United States is one man, and what he does is significantly impacted by the kind of staff that he has, by the kind of people he chooses, and by the kind of people others whom he trusts choose for him. So only when you come into a full assessment of the top tier and the middle tier of the administration can you find out exactly what the situation is going to be. Victoria Nuland was middle tier, and the woman wreaked havoc, as a useful idiot of China, in destroying India-US relations. She wreaked havoc. And today, for example, as far as Ukraine is concerned, if Ramesh knows the internet very well, and he can check. From the beginning of this war, I said, for God's sake, Mr. Zelensky, end it now, because you are going to suffer hell and you're not going to gain any territory. And that's precisely what has been happening over the last 2 years. The Ukrainians have really suffered hell, and Nuland has been disgraced. Her strategy was, let's roll back Russia. We can get into Moscow. We'll finish off Vladimir Putin. Well, you had a lot of talk about finishing off Vladimir Putin. Some people said Putin is horribly unwell. Some people said he's this, he's that. There's going to be a coup. Look, he's around. And he's very strong, and he's going to win the next election. So Victoria Nuland had to go, because she was dead wrong about Putin, dead wrong about the Ukrainian resistance to the Russian assault in 2022. And the assault that was caused, basically, the Russians thought the Ukrainian army was going to march into those parts of Ukraine that have been taken over by the Russian-speaking people. And there was a perception that Ukraine is going to join NATO, which is going to, if that happens, there will be a war between Russia and NATO. And this myth about Article 5, that all NATO countries stand together, will collapse. If Russia, for example, were to attack even Poland, forget the Baltics, Do you think France is going to lob a nuclear weapon on Russia? The British are going to lob it? Joe Biden is going to lob it? Donald Trump is going to lob? No way. This whole Article 5 is a myth. And this mess that's been created in Ukraine is leading the world closer to the catastrophe of that myth being tested. Having said that, I'd like to say, look, it doesn't really matter because fundamental interests in the US and India align. I agree with Ramesh's hint. We have to be close to the Western world. We have to be close to the Europeans. We have to be close to the South Africans. We have to be close to ASEAN. We have to be close to the Middle East. And we are close to the Middle East. Prime Minister Modi went to the UAE. He was greeted as a brother by one of the most visionary leaders in the world, Mohammed bin Zayed. Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Zayed of UAE, he was greeted as a brother by him. Narendra Modi is a good friend of Mohammed bin Salman, who has transformed Saudi Arabia by removing Wahhabism, the first Al Saud to remove Wahhabism. The Arab world is changing. India is changing. United States is changing. And all these changes are taking place. ASEAN. The relationship with ASEAN is excellent, in large part because of the aggressive, expansionist nature of China, which you, Dr. Swamy, have brought out in many ways. And I congratulate you for that. So the fact of the matter is that whoever is in power, it doesn't make a difference. If you ask me personally, if Tulsi Gabbard is made the vice presidential candidate, I would go with Trump. And secondly, it is not Kamala Harris's fault that she is in this situation. Mrs. Biden hates her, absolutely hates her, and has completely locked her up in a chamber and not allowed her to use 90% of her potential. She was a great prosecutor. She was a great senator. She's a rotten vice president because the president, the White House, a very important person in the White House, has seen to it that she's completely denuded of all authority. Otherwise, frankly, Kamala Harris, if she had been given some freedom, she would have done much better than this. But yes, not as good as Tulsi Gabbard. Look, Nikki Haley, she's you know, her ancestors are from my country. But on Ukraine, Haley is completely in line with the Europeans. And I would like to say that those Americans who think that they're Europeans and who act like Europeans and who act like Europe is center of the world, Nikki Haley has joined that club for her own political survival or whatever. But that's a mistake, quite frankly. But in my view, if Tulsi Gabbard is made, or even Vivek Ramaswamy is made the vice presidential candidate, I would back Donald Trump as president. Second, lastly, Dr. Swamy, Biden has been transcending to jail for such a long time. It's disgusting the way they're using the DOJ against Biden's opponent. But if Donald Trump lands in jail, the man will win in a landslide in the 2024 November polls.
Okay. Again, viewers, sorry, I used Vivek Ramaswamy's name wrongly. Sorry about that, Vivek. It is Vivek Ramaswamy. I want to apologize for that. Professor Nalapad, one good thing happened is that at least this Nuland is out. She resigned yesterday. So thankfully, the disaster is at least to some extent mitigated to right now. Dr. Swamy, again, I do not buy this Trump is in Putin's pocket theory at all, because this was a theory floated by Guardian, a pure left-wing newspaper, total nonsense. There's absolutely no credibility whatsoever. This was floated not today or yesterday. This was 2021. If it was 2021, the Democrats could have taken it and proven it somewhere. They could not, because there is nothing in that thing. It's just nonsense and somebody is spewing up some theory, and there is absolutely no backing to it. Because if that was the case, these 3 years, the Democrats could have taken it and run with it. They have not, because they have nothing whatsoever to back up that story. So the Trump-Putin thing, I don't think believe it at all. And coming back, again, as Professor Nalapad said, either if it's Vivek or if it's Tulsi, it is going to be beneficial for India, because there is some relationship that we can build based on that. I think India would far more benefit from these people than anything else. Last but not the least, as to why I prefer Trump or Biden, is what's happening within the US, be it the border situation, which is disastrous to say the least. We are facing huge problems, crises in terms of crime. We're just not able to economy. Everything is getting killed. And we are not saying, and people are wordsmithing, saying that we can't call them illegal. They're just saying undocumented and all this nonsense. We just have to get rid of this. And I think I am looking at a leader who can come and stop this border. I came into this country in the legal possible way, stood in the line for 8 hours, went through the process, came back to India, and made sure I went through due process, and I wait 15 years to be a citizen of this country. I'm not going to accept somebody who's just gone, walk over the border and saying, I'm going to be a citizen of this country, doctor. So that's absolutely not acceptable. That's what the Democrats typically want to do. Lastly, Democrats have never supported India. They always say that they are, but they've always betrayed India, be it the Clintons, be it Obama, even today as of Joe Biden. All the Democrats have said is only words, lot of flowery words and things like that, but they've never delivered for India. Democrats are a dangerous bunch of goons, in my view. They will not support India, and that's why I think Republicans are much more practical. If they say something, they'll stand behind it, and that's why I believe Trump is a better win for India.
One point here. Nixon was a Republican. You think he was on our side in Bangladesh war?
Dr. Swami, when Nixon was president, where India was and where India today are night and day. So we can't compare them together. What I'm trying to say is, in today's situation, where India was, we had the Nehruvian ideology and all that nonsense that was going around. I'm not bothered about that anymore. Where we are today is where India stands today, be it economy, be it military, be it everywhere, every sphere that we take, India is way ahead of most of the Western countries, even most of the European countries, be it in space exploration. I think India should be pragmatic about it and look at it this way. And I do not for the life of me think, because if Biden wins in 2024, it's going to be Obama 3.0. As simple as that. And Obama 3.0 means nothing for India. It's just a lot of talk and nothing to deliver.
I have a question for the benefit of this new young crowd in India and US. I want to ask maybe all three of you all, because you are all experts on America. In the last 30-40 years, the presidents who have come, elections have taken place, who have been really pro-India amongst these various presidents of America, we are now saying before the elections. But I want to know from you, because the young crowd wants to know, what has been the past history for the last 5-6 elections or terms, which presidents have been pro-India after the elections, if Dr. Swami or Professor Nalapath and Ramesh also, because he stays in the United States, give our viewers some idea of what it has been in the past, because they would like to know, some of the youngsters who are a large number on this program.
Dr. Swami?
Why, you don't want to lead?
No, I don't want to lead. You please speak first.
Americans' psychology is give and take. And we are perceived, whether justifiably or not, but we are perceived as people who expect more than they deliver. What is it that you want from the Americans? What have the Americans done which is being consistently a policy? In Bangladesh, of course, Kissinger and Nixon, they sided totally with Pakistan. They, in fact, tried to block it. And I must say, even in the last moment, the Soviet Union wanted India to stop further advance in Dhaka. It was that Jewish Indian General Jacobs, who disregarded the advice from Mrs. Gandhi's cabinet. By saying that, you know, I didn't hear it because there was no electricity, so the teleprompter was not working, and he went and captured Dhaka. So when the Americans sent the 7th Fleet to the Bay of Bengals, it was recorded, and it's one of my books on India Himalayan Challenge, which has been a bestseller. In that, when the Americans sent the 7th Fleet into the Bay of Bengal, the Soviet Union told India, and I was at that time, by the way, very much active in this whole thing with Jai Prakash Narayan, told us very clearly, no further because the Americans will use their nuclear weapons and we can't retaliate for that. So then when Mr. Morarji Desai came also, we had the same problem when Morarji decided to not only have friendship with the Soviet Union, but with China, because China under Deng Xiaoping was taking a very moderate line. They wanted to be friends with India. They opened Kailash Mansarovar route at my suggestion. But Kosygin came all the way to India, spoke on Indian television saying that the Chinese will betray you. And you owe us for all that we have done to stand by you in the past. Because Morarji Desai ignored it. But the fact is that all these questions of what country does and not, I would go by this. You want something from the United States, then learn to give something. And the United States can give you a lot because of their technology, because of their educational facilities, and so many other things. And what is it that they want from you? They want you to support them in key policies, not on everything. But we are not doing that because of the fact that we are under pressure from Putin, and we do oblige him when he puts pressure on us.
I would only like to say that Clinton and Nixon, in my view, were the two viscerally anti-Indian presidents. Clinton was absolutely obsessed with the snatching away Kashmir, and in India denuclearizing and basically abandoning our space technology. The man was toxic where India was concerned. Nixon was openly toxic. Clinton was basically outwardly friendly, but actually he was deeply toxic. So far as S-400 is concerned, even before that, there's a US 95,000-ton carrier called Kitty Hawk. It was actually sold for scrap by the United States Navy. Long before it was sold, I wrote, I think it was in Washington, in a Washington newspaper, and it was picked up by in India, that the Kitty Hawks should be transferred free of cost to India, like the USS Trenton was, because it will be a great way of building up our Navy free of cost. Well, the Pakistan lobby in the Pentagon, at that time it was very strong. Even now, you have seen the kind of mess that was made in Afghanistan. That's because of that very strong Wahhabi lobby, and the Pakistan lobby is part of that Wahhabi lobby. Well, they sabotage that entire Kitty Hawk thing. Now, S-400, Dr. Swami, I publicly said, no S-400. You remember that, both in television as well as in my writing. And then the question that was asked to me was two things. One, I said, we'll get sanctioned. My friends in Washington basically misled me. They gave me a lie that we would be sanctioned. The people whom I contacted in the government said, nothing doing, no sanctions, we are too important. They were right, I was wrong. But the second point was THAAD. I said, why don't you guys buy THAAD? Then the reply to me was, check and see if the Americans are offering it. And the fact of the matter is, they were not offering THAAD. Trump was informally, some of his people said, okay, THAAD, at triple the cost to a European country. So you install THAAD, let's say in the Andaman and Nicobar Islands, where it would be a tremendous resource against the, you know, against enemy countries. And Trump wanted three times the price. The one thing about Trump, I'd like to say, for him, love comes after money. You pay money, you get love. No money, no love. And he demanded an absurdly high price for THAAD. Today, you think Joe Biden is standing on the portico of the White House saying, India, get THAAD. America should give it free of cost because it's good for America, essential for America. But neither Trump nor Biden did that. So the fact is, I argued for THAAD, which was not available to India. So they said, what option do we have? We have to buy the Russian S-400 because that's the only option we have. The Americans are giving us no other option. And that is the reality. The problem with some people in America, either because of the Wahhabi lobby, they hate India, or they're so fond of dollars that they'd like bankrupt our country. even though, you know, we are emerging as a very strong global force in favor of the democracy. Absolutely. There's no question about it. So I'd like to say, Dr. Swami, about S-400, I'd like to say there was no alternative but by S-400. If the Americans had given us Kitty Hawk, they had given us 20 naval battleships. The Americans have modified 100 battleships for pennies.
Passed on to the Chinese, saying that they have a problem on this and problem on that. We have still not got any.
Dr. Swami, you're speaking to the converted. I was opposed to the deal at the beginning completely, and pointed out this. I've been totally opposed to S-400, but the fact is there was no option. The Americans didn't offer us an option. Trump informally offered us an option. I don't know whether they spoke on behalf of Trump or not. 3 times the cost that they were charging Europeans. And I didn't know Europeans are even poorer than the Indians. I didn't know that. But they were offering it to us at 3 times the price, which is really ridiculous. And till today, they don't realize the value of India. They don't realize the value of joint activity with India. All they're concerned about is dollar bills.
One quick point.
I wanted to know which American president, after being elected, has been in the last few decades friendly towards India. Just your views, then you go back.
Zero.
In my view, Trump, because he also loves the favor. Let me tell you why. Because he loves crowds and all those things. At the end of the day, if Trump had a second term, I think India would have benefited. And that's what I'm aiming to do. But as coming to Kitty Hawk, Professor Malapad, the US government sold it to scrap for 1 cent.
Exactly.
And India bought Russian warship for $2.3 billion.
Exactly.
So you go where the priorities are. So Americans are frustrated, purely frustrated, that they don't know as to why Indians are not engaging with the US more tightly, because India wants to pussyfoot everywhere. Oh, I want to be friends with China. I want to be friends with Russia. I want to be friends with this guy, that guy. I want to be friends with everybody. That doesn't work. I think
Don't go by the media thing on this. The fact is that in a lot of confidential discussions, for example, we had a track to do with the Russians. 90% of that is deeply confidential. 90% of what's happening in America is confidential. Please, Ramesh, please understand one thing. There are people in the United States administration, whether Republican or Democrat, who want to help China, who don't want India and America to work closely together.
I agree.
That kind of thing.
But
and
why?
There, it's not just India, let's be honest. And India, we have gone a long way. If you say we have gone the extra mile, the Americans need to go at least the extra half mile.
But Professor Nalabad, but why? Because Indians have not cultivated that relationship like the Chinese or even the
Sino-Bahamian. You're right. We don't have, for example, a civil society envoy to the United States. We have officials and retired officials, and we who deal with officials or retired officials. And when they deal with civil society, they deal with them as officials or retired officials. We till now don't have a special envoy of civil society, belonging to civil society. We don't have somebody like Henry Kissinger. Never. We have only officials, retired or serving. And that is a problem in India. This is complete, you know, till today we have that problem. We have to reach out to civil society in the United States. For that, you need people in civil society. You can't rely on officials and retired officials. And we need that wing of our diplomacy. I hope that in the third term of Prime Minister Modi, that will be implemented.
Arvind,
before we wind up, Arvind, your last comments.
Yeah, in fact, I was listening to all the wise men in this debate so far, and I had some problem with my camera, so I could come early. And I have one very important point to make, and that point is, why are we considering Indian Americans as a vote bank for either Trump or Joe Biden? In India, we have vote banks. And they would buy different political parties because of the serving their interests. But Indian Americans are not a vote bank. None of the parties in the fray are going to serve them as a vote bank. So first of all, let us not treat them as a vote bank. Indian Americans are divided. They are pro-Biden, they're pro-Trump. We have seen in the last two elections as well. Of course, Trump claimed that more Indians, Americans voted for him when he was elected. And similarly, Joe Biden did that because of Kamala Harris. But first of all, do we have opinion makers among Indian Americans? The opinion makers are politicians themselves. And the second type of opinion makers that we have are IT professionals, Satya Nadella, Sundar Pichai, Arvind Krishna, those who are heading the large corporates. But these large corporates people who are so-called opinion makers for Indian Americans are self-interested. They are only interested in their corporations. They are not even pro-Indians. Now, Jagdish had asked this question and the viewers had also asked this question that has there been any precedent or any candidate? And in future, I would say, is whether it is Kamala Harris, whether it is Nikki Haley, whether it is Vivek Ramaswamy, none of them are going to be pro-Indian just because they have an Indian history or they have some past Indian connection. We have seen in the past, and we had a program on the similar issue in October, and we had some expert, of course, we had our P gurus also in this program. But we had also discussed these issues that who are likely to be the candidates on Republican side or Democrat side, which have Indian American connection or they have Indian history. But we have seen time and again for last 50 years, at least, if not more, that there have been candidates, presidents on both sides, but there has been only American interest as far as when they look at India, and certainly India will also do the same when choosing this. So I don't think this is a factor in Indian American election 2024. Minor switch here and there may affect the election or may not affect the election, but whether they will be pro-Indian or India will get benefited by these tilts, I doubt about this.
Arvind, it is also time for us to wrap up the program, unless our guest, Dr. Swamy and Professor Nalapath, wants to have the last few words on of the topic.
No, Professor? I just want to say that I'm delighted to participate in Gyan Ganga. It is truly a Gyan Ganga. And you know, and frankly, with my very dear and old friends, and I think the dearest and old, and I'm not going to say the oldest, he's a very young man, is Dr. Swamy. So I'm delighted to be here.
Dr. Swamy, anything on today's topic you want to say? Or
I think the thing that should enter the mind of all Indians is if you want to deal with America, with as a minister also, you remember, Jagdish, you were part of the the ministry. You held a position in when I was a minister, and that and so did Arvind Chaturvedi. At that time, we were short of money, and we were about to declare bankruptcy for India because of what VP Singh had done, and we inherited. At that time, the Americans assisted us to get $2 billion. Yes, concessional terms.
Yeah.
And $2 billion, a hell of a lot. And what did we do? I did the negotiations, so I know it. We promised them when they made a request that their aeroplanes, their jet planes from Philippines traveling to Saudi Arabia can refuel in India. They didn't want to refuel in Pakistan because they were not sure that in view of the fact that Saddam Hussein was also Muslim, whether there'll be a problem. So they wanted to refuel in India, and we allowed them to refuel. And overnight, the Americans gave us $2 billion to save us from bankruptcy. So my view is that if you want to get the best out of the Americans, do a give and take. Don't try to be smart that I got the better of them, which is what most Indians
absolutely
are doing.
Right. Absolutely.
You got Quad, and then you started saying that we'll talk about the environment. That's not what Quad was formed for. You have to take a stand. And if the Americans, you want the Americans on your side, you've got to be against the Russians. And you've got to be against the Chinese. Whether they have other deals with Chinese or the Americans, the Russians, that's another matter. but they will stand by you in case you have a conflict with the China, even if they are friendly with China. And they have the best technology for weapons. I can tell you that there's no country which can match America in terms of you have to get them, persuade them. If your ambassadors and all are incompetent, they don't know how to negotiate with the Americans. Well, that's our misfortune. But the fact is that the Americans have it, and they you have to bargain with them by give and take or by arguments, and you can get what you want. Like we got for just refueling, we got $2 billion, which is now $20 million in today's prices. You see, so that's what I'm saying. Give and take. Don't sit on the high horse and say, well, you know, I deserve better if you want my friendship.
Very good point, Dr. Swami. Excellent point. Arvindji, quick point, a note, just as a statistical value, Indian Americans, about 78% are still Democrats. Only 22% supported Trump. Before that, before Trump came,
about 72% voted.
Before Trump came, the number of Indian Americans voting for Republicans was less than in single digits. So there is a significant growth amongst Indian Americans supporting Trump. So I think in this coming elections, hopefully they will turn around. But in general, most of the Indian, they are quite a big population, Arvindji. But the problem again is they are not banding together. As you said, are they a vote bloc? Yes, they are. But they don't behave like one. They say, okay,
so certain states, they are more important, but not in all the states.
Yeah, no, all of them are blue states, no? New Jersey, yeah. I mean, California, Illinois, in the Northeast, most of the Indians are. I mean, it's all given by default. Before even the election's over, we say it's going to the Democrats. That's where the difference is. We have to make our voice heard. I think that is going to change in the next few, maybe in the next decade or so, because a lot of Indians are moving to the South, into Texas, Florida, Georgia, and these areas, and they're going to be red belts, and maybe it will be a significant change. This is not now, but I think in the future. As of today, that's where they are. I hope more Indian Americans read the tea leaves or read the Bhagavad Gita and get clarity saying that Democrats are not going to help them.
No, Ramesh, I had a different point, not talking about Indians like you, but I'm talking general Indian Americans.
Who have been Americanized
and who have no interest in India and who have no connection with India. For namesake, they are Indian Americans. So they, right. Even if they play a role, India does not get benefited. That's what my point was.
Okay, Arvind, we have already exceeded our time limit.
So coming back to the last part of this program, thanks to Professor M.D. Nalapat, who has joined our program, I think, after about 8 months now. And we have been fortunate to have him for rich discussions and debates. And he has been very kind to always oblige whenever we invited him. Thank you, Professor Nalapat, for joining us today on this important topic. And thank you, Dr. Subramanian Swami, for mentoring entire VHS for such a long time and supporting this program, because it survived because of you and all the 110 countries that we reach. It is because of your voice which has been gathering the support for this program. Thanks, Dr. Swami, for supporting this program and being here today for this important topic. Thanks, Ramesh. You had a very important role to play today, not only being a host, but also being a speaker, because you are one of those Indian Americans who count for us. Thanks.
I wish I didn't say the blooper of using Vivek Ramaswamy's name wrong. I hope I can take that back.
In fact, the birds also noted it, and they're also commenting on that.
That's a glitch that happens.
And thanks to the technical team, led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Rayer, Tejas Navalgul, Vishal Mehta, Swaminathan, and Ajesh Mehta. We will be meeting again next Sunday with a new topic, Dr. Subramanian Swami, and perhaps a new guest, if required, on that topic. Till then, namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.
Jai Hind, Jai Shri Ram.